Great job as always. We're truly blessed as you share God's word in music this morning. We certainly appreciate Kristen and Noah for their great job. And we say thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Sublima gracia. Very good. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians this morning, please. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Starting a new series today on the four D's of spiritual growth. The four D's of spiritual growth. I thought a message series like this starting the new year would be helpful. Really, spiritual growth should be our number one goal as believers. Today, the first D of growth is the desire to grow, the desire to grow. And here we see Paul had that desire as expressed from his Roman prison cell. He wrote these words, verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on." Underline those words. That shows the desire to grow. "I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." As we turn into 2021, that's probably a good idea, isn't it? Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. "I press on toward the mark, the goal for the prize of the upward call, the high call of God in Christ Jesus." Thank you for those of you watching in the Life Center today, and I pray that God will bless you and God will bless us and those of you watching at home as well, that this will be a challenge and give us the how-tos of what we need to do to grow spiritually. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to join together this morning. I pray, Lord, for those watching at home, that you'll keep us safe, bless those in the Life Center, keep them safe from all viruses and sicknesses that are going around, and help us, God, prioritize our own spiritual growth in this coming year. God, we want to be effective servants, so help us to do that. Change us, start with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Every achievement in life starts with a desire. Whether it's getting a job, graduating from school, paying off your home mortgage early, growing spiritually. Nothing happens by random chance or osmosis. We have to want it to happen. We have to take the steps to make it happen. Consider Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz. You know who Howard is? Born to poor parents in Brooklyn, New York. His great-grandfather came here from Europe, could not speak English, had $10 in his pocket. When Howard was 3, his family had to move into an apartment in Brooklyn's public housing district. It was the projects. It was a rough area. Neither of his parents finished high school. After his dad came back from World War II, he spent his life working low-pay jobs and driving a diaper delivery truck. That's what he did. Years ago, they used to deliver diapers. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? One day, as Howard's dad was delivering diapers, he stepped on a patch of ice and he fell and he broke his hip. His dad had no health insurance, no workman's comp, couldn't get the medical treatment that he needed. And since he couldn't walk, the diaper delivery company fired Howard's dad. Howard said the most indelible image he had of his dad was his lying on the couch in a cast, distraught, no savings, no job, no hope, no knowledge of where the next meal would come from. And 7-year-old Howard said he remembered sitting in the dirty stairwell of his government housing apartment thinking about his dad, his family, his situation. And he said, "That day something clicked in my mind that my life would be different than my dad's." Well, Howard planned on playing football in hopes of getting a scholarship to college. And he played football, but there were no scholarships offered, only part-time jobs and some college loans. Howard became the first person in his family to go to college. During college, he worked part-time, and, well, when there wasn't any money to buy food, he sold his own blood to have cash to buy something to eat. Times were tough for Howard. But he graduated from college in 1975 in Michigan, but his parents couldn't afford to travel there to attend to see him graduate. After college, Howard got a job selling office equipment door to door, and every day he'd make about 50 cold calls, and he did pretty good, sending half of his paycheck back to his parents every time he got paid. Well, 1983, Howard was on a business trip to Italy, and he walked into a little Italian cafe, and he tasted his first espresso coffee. At the time, Starbucks in the U.S. sold only whole bean coffee, and they had no seating. So Howard borrowed some money from his wife's family and opened a store in Illinois called Giornale. Then he opened two coffee stores. Then he opened three coffee stores. Well, soon Giornale merged with this company called Starbucks, and Howard became the CEO of Starbucks. Today, Howard Schultz, the little boy who grew up in government housing in the projects of Brooklyn, whose life changed that day, he sat on the seventh floor stairwell of his dad's apartment, deciding he'd be different than his dad, has a net worth of $4.3 billion with a B, dollars. If Howard were here, he would tell you it all started with desire. Let me say it again. Every achievement in life, the reaching of every goal starts with desire. And that's true when it comes in your spiritual life. No believer has ever grown in their faith and their walk with God who didn't first have a desire to grow. That's why we find the commands in the Bible such as Hebrews 6:1, press on to maturity. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow. Ephesians 4:15, we're to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. And then here in Philippians 3:12, press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. These verses remind us that spiritual growth requires effort on our part. You don't just let go and let God and that's it. You become a mighty oak tree for the glory of God, spiritually speaking. That's not the way it happens. There has to be a desire to grow. So let me say it again. No achievement, no goal ever happens without a desire. And friend, as we look at all the things happening around us in our land, it's easy to wonder, what are we going to do in 2021? What does God want us to do in 2021? Well, here it is. Prioritize and focus as your highest goal, your own spiritual growth. That should be your number one goal for 2021, regardless of what all else happens. Grow spiritually. And what must we do to grow spiritually? We must have a desire to grow. And what's required to have a desire to grow? I'm glad you asked. You have to take three actions are required in order to have the desire we need to grow spiritually. And what are the three steps? Here they are. Number one, a desire to grow spiritually begins with dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. Look in 12 in the first phrase of 13. Paul said, not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect, and that word means mature, but I press on, in order that I might lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Spiritual growth, like any other growth, starts when you're discontent with where you are right now. We're not talking about being discontent with what you have. In Philippians 4:11, Paul said, I've learned in whatever my circumstances to be content. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Now, material contentment is good. Even if you're working hard to advance at your job and your work so your family can have their needs met. However, spiritual contentment is not good because we should always be desiring to grow in our faith and our knowledge of God's word so we can be more effective in the kingdom of God. And Paul admitted he didn't know the Lord as well as he could know him. And his knowledge of God's word was not what it should have been. Yes, he was satisfied with Christ, satisfied with his salvation, who he was in Jesus, but he wasn't satisfied with his knowledge of God's word or his walk with God and his spiritual growth. Someone said sanctified dissatisfaction is the first step to progress in the Christian life. Don't be satisfied with your current prayer life or your current Bible knowledge, or your current service for God, or your current ability to share your faith. Don't accept the status quo as your best for God. We can do better. F.B. Meyer said, self-dissatisfaction lies at the root of our noblest achievements. People who become content with who they are spiritually will never grow beyond where they are. In fact, spiritual growth is like riding a bicycle. You go on or you go off. And those who stop growing will actually fall back and lose ground in their spiritual growth. Like a weightlifter who stops lifting weights, muscles deteriorate, decline, and disappear. And so it is in our spiritual growth. When you stop growing, you start declining. And the old Baptist term for that, we don't hear much anymore, is a term called backsliding. Now, we think of backsliding as going off into some awful, terrible, heinous sin. That's not what it is. It's just simply a believer who stopped growing in their faith. They're sliding back. You go on, you go off, either way. There's a guy in India who has the honor of being the world's shortest man. 53-year-old Basori Lal is 29 inches tall. That's 2 feet 5 inches tall. That's about like that. 53 years old. He's about that tall right there. He has a rare genetic disorder that caused him to stop growing when he was about 3 or 4 years of age. Now, he looks like a little toddler till you get up close and you see his beard stubble and his mustache. And you say, I don't think that's a 3 or 4-year-old. He has a rare genetic condition. As a teenager, all of his buddies picked on him because he was so small and so short. But now with all the notoriety of being the world's shortest man, he's like a celebrity in the neighborhood, and everybody wants to come see him and be nice to him. And yet it's still sad to see a 53-year-old man who's 29 inches tall. Likewise, it's sad to see a believer who hasn't grown in their faith in decades. Christian, I don't want to be a spiritual Basori Lal. I don't want to stop growing in my faith. Like Paul, I want to press on. I want to move forward, grow up, keep going, and be more effective in God's kingdom. And the first step as a Christian in your calling as a believer is to be dissatisfied with where you are spiritually right now. Paul was. He said, I've not yet arrived. I press on. Using the language of a runner who would strain every muscle to stretch forward to win the tape. He said, I've not obtained it yet. I've not arrived. If Paul could write, he would say, I'm not there. And if he's not yet there, then I wonder if we'll ever be there. We never reach a point of sinless perfectionism, and we never reach a point where we don't need to grow anymore. That's just not true. Now, I realize the Holy Spirit is doing the work of sanctification in us and through us, but there's some effort on our part as well. As we start another year, we hope and pray it'll be better than last year, right? But you know what, friend? Regardless of what politicians do and regardless of what enemy nations do and regardless of what the Fed does and COVID does, above all else, before all else, we ought to have the conviction that God wants us to grow in our faith in 2021. And where we are today, this very moment, is not where we ought to want to stay for the rest of the year. We ought to want to grow and move forward, press on. But it won't happen if we're content with where we are. Don't be content. And I know that you're not average and typical. I believe the folks of Scott Lake are above average and typical. But we shouldn't be content with being just above average and above typical. I like what Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president of the U.S., said. He gave a statement. He only served one term. He gave his I choose not to run statement. He was besieged by reporters and they said, President Coolidge, why? Why aren't you wanting to be president again? He said, because there's no room for advancement when you're the president. That's pretty true. We never reach a point where it's impossible to spiritually advance. We can all advance and grow and progress in our knowledge of the Bible, our walk with God, but only if we're dissatisfied with where we are right now. In school, children promote and move on to the next grade level, don't they? We should all want to promote and move on to the next grade level in our growth with God, but it won't happen if we're satisfied. Paul said, I've not obtained it. I'm not mature. I'm not where I ought to be or need to be. I've not laid hold of it yet. I still have room to grow. The American Bible Society and Barna have a free, oh, there's that word I like, free. I'm sorry. Let me say it again, free. Okay. A free 208-page ebook. You can access the PDF of the whole book online. It's free. You search stateofthebible.com. There it is, stateofthebible.com. And it's a 208-page book that has all kind of research about people and their Bible reading habits in the United States. One of the stats that caught my attention was this. Right at 2/3 of all U.S. adults who read the Bible, this is 2/3 of all who say they read the Bible, say their Bible reading has stayed the same this past year, hadn't increased a bit. 11% of those who call themselves Bible readers say it's decreased over the past year. That means 75% of Americans, three-fourths of all Americans, admit their Bible reading has either stayed the same or it's gone down. Here's something worse than that. 55% of all Americans admit they either don't read the Bible or they read it less than once a year. These numbers tell us something we probably already knew. Friends, America is not growing spiritually. We are dying spiritually, and the bulb is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. In fact, in 2011, 64 million Americans said they never opened a Bible. And this past year, 2020, 87 million Americans say they never open a Bible. 87 million. I mean, the bulb's getting dim. And so a commitment to grow is a commitment to read your Bible more and be dissatisfied with your current level of insight into God's Word. Be dissatisfied with your current prayer level, service, giving, church attendance, witnessing. Be unhappy to the point you're willing to change. Confession is good for the soul. It's one thing to get on the scales after Thanksgiving and Christmas and see numbers you don't like, right? Who broke this? What happened? What's the problem here? It's another to get on the scales and see a number you don't like to the extent you're willing to do something about it, right? We need to do something about it. We need to be willing to grow and change. Growing spiritually affects our service and pays dividends for all eternity. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding a promise for the present life and the life to come. Physical exercise is good. Hear me say that. It's good. But Paul told Timothy, spiritual exercise, pressing on, moving forward, growing is better. That's what Paul said. It's better. Start the new year dissatisfied with where your life is, because that's the key to pressing on to higher ground, greater service in God's kingdom. A desire to grow spiritually starts with a dissatisfaction with where you are right now. Be dissatisfied with where you are. You can grow. You can be closer to God at the end of this year. You can be more effective in God's service at the end of this year. Number two leads to a new direction. A new direction. 13, last phrase. Look what it says. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I'm not going to focus on the past. I'm going to focus on the future. This one thing, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Christian, we have to move past the past. We have to move beyond the past with all of its failures and heartaches and missed opportunities and set our sights on the future to waters we've never sailed and a future we've not experienced. As Paul faced his future from prison, he said, this one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget what lies behind and reach on to what lies ahead. Man, we should want to enter 2021 sold out, all in, ready to go, on fire, zealous, committed, passionate, and prepared. That's what Paul did. That's what William Borden did. William Borden, not the fella from the Borden evaporated milk fame, but a different Borden family. This guy's dad made a lot of money, millions in the silver business out in Colorado. They moved to Chicago, and William's mother was converted at Moody Church. And soon William was converted under the preaching of R.A. Torrey at Moody Church. No evidence that William's dad was ever converted. And William surrendered his life to full-time Christian service. When he graduated, his dad gave him as a graduation gift a trip around the world. He went through China, said there he felt God called him to be a missionary to China. His dad was not at all happy about his choice to throw his life away as a missionary. Some of his own friends were shocked that William would throw his life away. After all, he has access to millions of dollars. He can do anything he wants to do. But at Yale, he was known for his knowledge of God's Word, his study of the Bible, his prayer time. He wrote in his Bible the words, no reserves, no reserves. He started a campus Bible study and prayer time at Yale. In a few months, of the 1,300 students at Yale, 1,000 of 1,300 were coming to his Bible study and prayer meeting every morning. Every morning. Changed the tone and tenor of the whole campus. He started a rescue mission for the cities down and out, trying to win them to Jesus, and he won many. And although his family were multimillionaires, William Borden did not choose to pursue worldly things, worldly amusements. He refused to join a college fraternity. That's a good place for any Baptist to say amen, right? Upon graduation from Yale, he turned down some high-paying job offers, and he wrote these words in his Bible, no retreats. Graduate work at Princeton, he finished it, and he sailed for China. Knowing his ship would dock in Egypt for a couple of months, he hoped to share the gospel with some Muslims there, studying Arabic so he'd be ready to share the gospel, preach the gospel when he arrived. But tragically, in that short time while in Egypt, 25-year-old William Borden contracted spinal meningitis and died, 25 years of age. Before he died, the last words he wrote in his Bible were, no regrets, no regrets. That was the life of William Borden. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Friend, as we stand on the threshold of another year, that should be our motto. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. After he died, William bequeathed all of his estate to the China Inland Mission. And with that, they built a hospital and they funded several missionaries. Here's the bottom line, Christian. We don't know what's going to happen in 2021. We don't know. But we do know what should happen in us in 2021. And that is, we ought to be sold out to growing in our faith and committed to doing whatever it is God wants us to do. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. All on the line, all on the table, all on the altar. Paul wrote these words 62 AD from prison. He didn't know what the future held. He had a few more years, not many, just a few. He knew he wouldn't dwell about the past, the failures and successes of the past. We all have failures, we all have success. Man, you got to concentrate on the future. You got to pick up, let the past go. Pick it up and move forward and simply do what God's called you to do. And don't look back. See, the big issue of 2021 is not what about Twitter and Facebook? What about Instagram? What about these other social media platforms? No. You know, if you put things in perspective, last year in Nigeria, over 2,400 Christians were hacked to death with swords by Muslims. Over 2,400 last year in Nigeria. I mean, really, social media ought to be the least of our worries. It really should be. Our issue is, how does God want us to live? What does He want us to say? What's He want us to do? Where does He want us to go? I mean, it's being more committed to the Lord in 2021 than it was last year. This one thing I do, forgetting the past and reaching to the future. I'm not going to get bogged down in 2020's mud, but I'm going to put my boots on and walk forward 2021 for the glory of God. That's where we ought to be. That's where we ought to be. Committed to the right direction, maybe a new direction, regardless of what happens in the world. In college football, your wins and losses might not have been so good this past year. With my team, they weren't so good. But you know what? With the new year comes fresh hope. Oh, it's like going deep sea fishing, right? When you go out in the morning, I mean, everybody's happy and got a smile on their face. Hope runs high when you get on that boat. But after about 5 or 6 hours and all you have are a few grunts, it's like, ugh. But hope runs high when you start, doesn't it? Well, that's the way it ought to be as we face 2021. Hope ought to run high. We ought to be ready to go, sold out, on fire, smiling. A desire to grow starts the dissatisfaction, leads to a brand new direction, and here it is, number 3, inspires fresh determination. Determination 14, I press on toward the goal, the mark for the prize of the upward high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word for goal or mark refers to the goal marker where a runner would cross the tape, so to speak. We would liken it to a goal line in football. The goal line for Paul was knowing Christ, being like Him, pursuing His call from above. That's what motivated him above everything else, dominated his focus and consumed his energy, crossing the line to know Christ, being like Him, pursuing His call, whatever it was, wherever it led, whatever it involved. That was the goal line. And that's what Paul was determined to do. And the words press on. By the way, that's present indicative active. I am continually pressing on. Not once and I'm done. I continue to press on toward the goal. Pictures the cheetah running 70 miles an hour to capture its prey. A little young antelope or whatever it was. You get the visual image of that. That single-minded focus is what we see here. The track runner stretching to hit the tape first. The Christian giving maximum effort to knowing the Lord, knowing His Word, doing what He wants us to do. That's what we ought to be determined to do. That should be our focus in 2021. And what should not be our focus in 2021? Everybody's seatbelt fastened and tray table in the upright and locked position, right? Our focus should not be politics, not sports, not things, but knowing what God wants us to do. Nothing else is as important as that. No other desire is as important as that. You see, the story of Howard Schultz's rise from poverty to the great billionaire wealth of Starbucks is commendable. It's commendable. But, oh, friend, the story of how William Borden left great wealth to pursue the prize of following the high call of God in Christ Jesus, that's even more commendable. Borden left it all for Jesus, and Schultz is not. The prize that moved Paul wasn't wealth on earth, but wealth in heaven. And that's why he told the Colossians, set your minds on things above, not the things of this world. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. God is big enough to take care of the world. That's a good thought to have when you lie down at night, isn't it? God is big enough to take care of the world. He's big enough to take care of politics, COVID-19, everything else. Our passion, our priority should be doing what He wants us to do. Knowing Jesus and doing what He wants us to do every day. Somebody says, well, I don't know, what does He want me to do? The question, the answer to that is, what does He want you to do today? Set aside today, worship, here in presence, online, wherever you are. Take time to remember, study His Word, grow spiritually. Because I believe that you are here at church today because you want to be stronger spiritually at the end of 2021 than at the beginning of 2021. I believe that's why you're here today. You want to be used of God more throughout this year than you are last year, regardless of what you do to pay the bills, regardless. Do what God wants you to do. The Daily Bread carried a story about a man who was slowly losing his memory. After an examination, the doctor said, an operation on your brain might reverse your condition and restore your memory. However, the surgeon warned, it's going to be such a delicate operation, a nerve might be severed and cause permanent blindness. He asked him, sir, what would you rather have, your sight or your memory? Think about that for just a minute. Which one would you rather have, your sight or your memory? The man pondered it a few minutes and finally he answered. He said, my sight. I'd rather see where I'm going than remember where I've been. That's pretty good. I'd rather see where I'm going than remember where I've been. Can't we all look back at 2020 and say, ooh, we've been there, done that, but what's in the future? What's next? And I pray we'll look at 2021 and see where we are going. And the good news of the gospel is this, God can forgive us of all of our sins and God can give us a fresh start. But fresh starts aren't always easy. Entering the promised land for the Israelites was not easy. Believing Jesus rose from the dead for those early disciples was not easy, as evidenced by the fact that most of them gave their lives as martyrs for preaching Jesus alive from the dead. They still believed it and they still preached it. And so the question this morning for all of us is this. In your heart, in your mind, do you really want to grow spiritually? Can you really say from an honest heart, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I hope you can say that today. Here's the bottom line, friend. The only believers who reach higher ground are those who have a desire to reach it. I believe you have that desire, as do I. Let's pray. Perhaps you're here this morning, or you're watching online or from the Life Center, and you would have to admit that you're not sure if you've ever really called on Jesus to be your Lord, Savior, and King. And this morning you'd like to do that. That starts with repentance and faith, where you turn from sin and turn from self and turn from you to Jesus as Lord and King and Savior of your life. And you, in a simple, silent prayer to God that no one else around you would hear, would say something like, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying to save me on that old rugged cross. Please change me. Help me to prioritize you over everything else. Help me to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness so that all other things can be added. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the grave, and I ask you, Lord, please save me right now. Dear friend, if you'll pray that from a heart of sincerity and authenticity, He will hear it and He will answer. Jesus said, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. As many as receive Christ, to those He gave the right to be children of God, even to those who believe in His name. So if you're here this morning, and maybe with no one looking around, every head still bowed, if you prayed to ask Jesus in your heart today, and you're not ashamed to let me know, would you raise your hand? Would there be one that say, Pastor, for the first time ever, I prayed to receive Christ. Maybe those of you watching at home, maybe someone of you prayed to receive Christ. Let us know here at the church. Give me a call. Send me an email. Let me know. And Christian, if you're here this morning, you might want to pray something like this. Lord, I know I'm saved, but I want to grow in 2021. I want to prioritize my spiritual walk, my growth, my knowledge, so I can be a greater servant in your kingdom. God, help me do just that. Friend, if you'll pray that from sincerity and authenticity, God will hear and answer that as well. Father, we thank you for letting us be together today to hear this challenge from your word, stirring us a greater desire to grow and press on to maturity. Lord, help us not to be satisfied and content with the ABCs of the faith, but help us to move on and grow so that we can be useful, effective servants for you. Thank you for allowing us to be here together today. Bless those watching online. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a spiritual need or decision, don't hesitate to call the church office. I'll be thrilled beyond measure to speak to you at your invitation. Maybe it's about a spiritual matter. Maybe it's about being a member of Scott Lake Baptist Church. We have 10 promises. That's our church covenant that we ask that you make. And if you'll make those promises, you sign it, you can keep a copy, and we'll keep a we don't keep a copy. We don't keep a copy. You keep the copy in your Bible. That way you can go back and read it. So you make the commitment and talk to me. I'll be happy to, at your invitation, speak to you. And then we'll make sure you got the salvation baptism squared away. We'll present you as a saved church member at Scott Lake. All right. Thank you for being here today. And hope to see you back tonight. I'll be preaching. We're continuing in Luke tonight. There's a lot of space missed in our Explore the Book series. And so I'm going to try to do sermons for Sunday night from Luke's gospel so we don't miss quite as much. But tonight is what made John the Baptist great. He was a great preacher of, come back tonight and find out why Jesus called him the greatest preacher of all time tonight. Why God called John the Baptist the greatest preacher ever. Hope to see you back for that. Anything else, Mr. Chuck? Again, thank you for your generous giving. Brother Clive, are you our prayer today? All right, come on up.